Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel. The text is Proverbs chapter 4, verses 10 through 23. The Reverend Dr. Stephen O'Canna is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The appointed reading for this day is recorded in Proverbs chapter 4, beginning at the 10th verse. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction, do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone to stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, and from it flow the springs of life. This is our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From Proverbs, we draw wisdom imparted through the Holy Spirit by Solomon. In its pages, we read how a believer and followers of Jesus relate to one another. We also read about contending with the world hostile to the Lord. Proverbs tells us how we dialogue with one another. We find Proverbs quoted 10 times in the New Testament by Jesus and the apostles. We're given models for family systems and what I call divine principles that lead to a long and fulfilling life. So our text this morning falls under the general heading of the 10 discourses for the young. This section of Proverbs 4 is part of discourse number 5. The way of the righteous is distinguished from the way of wickedness. That is its theme. From this section, I want to explore the following, which relates to guarding the heart with vigilance. Following the ways of the Lord. Following His word. Turning aside from evil. So Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 23. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. I want to pull you into a situation that occurred in the medical culture, at least it occurred with me. A while ago, I was stationed at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. Aside from doing a research project, I was also in charge of ward visitations, you know, to see patients and provide patient care. Now, prior to seeing those who are flat on their backs, those in crisis, dialoguing in prayer and providing sacrament, we go through an extensive training program for hospital chaplaincy. And let me summarize some of the training. I was imparted how to hold hands with the sick. That's right. We had an expert on hands come in and explain the power of the human touch. You learn in a class environment how you engage with those who are ill, how to respect boundaries. If a patient becomes tired, know when to leave. You're given a block of instruction on where you may, in conversation, want to share scripture and prayer. Very helpful. After it's over, you're given a tour of this massive Walter Reed Medical Center. You're met on each ward by the charge nurse. They give you a tour of the floor, you're introduced to the other staff, so you feel like you're part of the team. I was assigned 2 wards, one of which was called SICU, Surgical Intensive Care Unit, SICU. This was an ultra-modern wing of the hospital. It was very clean. Lots of monitors and plenty of activity. Doctors and nurses moving about from the main station, which looks like a NASA mission control center. They moved back and forth to patient rooms. So not long after our introductory training and soon after our professional overview, I arrived on the SICU by myself. Something was very different, though. It was unusual. This is not what it looked like during the introduction. The lights were really dim, almost dark. The nurses on the floor were engaged, and because of that, they were out of sight. You really couldn't see any of them. And so I was about to conduct my visitations, Bible and small stole in hand, I sauntered toward the rooms, and a stern voice in the darkness told me, not yelling, very professional tone, "Stop. Look down." And so I looked down, and there was a blue line of tape across the floor. Being a chaplain, being a soldier, I stopped. The nurse told me to come back in a couple of hours, and so I did. When I did, the lights were up on the floor, nurses and doctors were doing what they do, coming in and going out of the patient's room. I found the nurse who rousted me out of the intensive care ward. He told me it was an unusual day. Three rooms on the other side of the blue line were absolutely sequestered and protected. I asked why, because I thought maybe we had an enemy combatant in there. This is during the height of the war. And he says, no. He said, those three rooms all have, this is his words and not mine, fresh hearts. He went on to tell me, we protect those hearts in every way we can. No one goes in until the heart can push back and fight infections, diseases, and even stress. The nurse went on to tell me that the heart wasn't a safe place to go until the body has accepted it. And so I'm thinking, wow, three heart transplants on the same floor and the same hospital. When it was determined that I was not something intended to corrupt or destroy the heart, I was allowed to go back in. I was no longer a threat, and I could conduct ministry and provide care. Now, I was struck with how this floor was literally the guardians of hearts. They wanted those fresh hearts pure. Everyone concerned desired clean hearts. As such, they did not want something that would take root in the heart, a bacterium, a virus, a common cold, or a disease to take hold of the healthy heart and lead it to death. So our passage this morning is a passage of the heart. The heart, like all things, belongs to God. It has a purpose and an intent. But the heart described in Proverbs is more than a four-muscled chamber pumping blood and giving life. No, in this case, the heart is that special place where resides the central core of our thoughts, our words, and actions. The Holy Spirit, through Solomon, tells us to be attentive to what he says. Hold the teachings tight to your heart. Solomon then goes on to say that we are to keep our hearts with vigilance, because from it flow the springs of life. The heart is the indwelling of our thoughts, actions, and attitudes about people, places, and things. Due to our fallen nature, it is corrupt and not a bucolic and peaceful place. In Matthew 12, we read of Jesus indicting the Pharisees concerning their heart problem. Jesus says, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him." Solomon is having a heart-to-heart with us this morning. This is a heart-to-heart conversation. Many of us have had hearts-to-hearts with our family, and they're usually one-on-one. My heart-to-hearts, I have to tell you personally, I feel very uncomfortable. I don't like doing them. There's a great potential for conflict. I prefer to segue into serious business. Heart-to-hearts make me feel vulnerable. Come what the recipient thinks, when you have a heart-to-heart, you deliver the news, you deliver the information, a plan of action. The conversation, negotiation, and parlaying on a topic is long over. It's time to stand and deliver and give your heart-to-heart. It is different with the baptized child of God regarding redemption. This heart-to-heart begins at salvation by grace through faith and pulls in our passion to care for your heart, to guard it, to protect it. Value what's in its chambers and give thanks to God that he redeems our life and he redeems the heart. This is not a Bible passage discussing the virtues of our living, the virtues of our lifestyle, what we can or cannot do, and what we do to cooperate with God to bring about salvation in our lives. Far from it. This passage has a strong echo to Psalm chapter 4, where the psalmist writes, King David says, "There are many who say, 'Who can show us any good?' Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord, for you filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound." The heart is transformed. The heart is not replaced, but it's redeemed. Our heart is changed. What once was a horrible, leaky vessel exuding darkness and death is now made a receptacle for the goodness and mercy extended to us by Jesus. This is done by the justification by grace through faith. Without the redemptive work of Christ on the cross, our heart is weak, broken, leaky, and of no use. In the Apology to the Augsburg Confession, we read an accurate diagnosis of the heart. "For a heart filled with anxiety and truly feeling the wrath of God can never love him until he gives it relief and comfort and assures it of his grace. For while he terrifies and assails us, as if he would cast us off in eternal wrath into everlasting death, our poor, feeble nature must lose all courage and hope and tremble before the great anger which terrifies and punishes so fearfully. And it cannot feel a spark of love until God himself comforts and relieves it." Solomon points to Christ. For it is Christ who transforms, redeems, changes, takes us off of a bad path and places us on the right path. What other words grant us wisdom to walk and run so we neither are hampered or stumble? As Solomon addresses us, you hear echoes of David from Psalm 1 when we read about walking, running, and sitting, not being present with wickedness. This continuity of Scripture makes us stop and look to Solomon pointing to Christ. There's no way in heaven or on earth God would address anyone by "my son," unless they were his own, the apple of his eye. So this is not about us. In our nature, we are hostile, rebellious against God. We are now transformed. Now, no time are we deserving of sonship, but this is conferred on us by Christ on the cross and his redemption. It is seen in holy baptism, where with water combined with God's word, we become his child forever. No, it is well established in the words of Solomon who we are: children of God, heirs of the promise of life eternal. The heart is transformed. The heart must now be guarded. It is no longer a storehouse of death, an empty grain bin, a moldy tomb, a utility shed filled with garbage. The heart must be guarded because it is no longer belongs to you. This place is holy. It belongs to the Lord, and we are its stewards. So, be caretakers of the heart. Worship as often as you can. Pray regularly. Seek his word and grow in accordance to it. Reflect on the gifts of baptism and the Lord's Supper. The heart transformed is beautiful. It is a shrine, a chapel to the living God belongs to the Lord Jesus. In his Christmas hymn, Martin Luther wrote that because of Jesus coming into the world, our heart is transformed. It is now a quiet, restful bed, a place of great joy, a cradle for Christ. Ah, dearest Jesus, holy child, make thee a bed soft, undefiled, within our hearts that they may be all quiet chambers kept for thee. Our hearts for very joy do leap, our lips no more can silence keep. We too must sing with joyful tongue that sweetened ancient cradle song. We have a heart transformed and redeemed. Guard it through God's word and promises. Be a steward and protect it. Be a vigilant nurse of your heart renewed by Christ. And we ask this in his holy and precious name, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for Chaplain Michael Carney, who is deployed. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.
I'm Pastor AJ.